We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Jolly John Lukumsky, and I'm from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, the home of bacon parades, and also Trinity Darmstadt, and I have with me...
It's hard to top that introduction.
It really is. You know, I bacon, hand it out.
Jay, yeah. I am Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri, South St. Louis. We do have the donut drive-in, though, which ironically... Ironically enough, you cannot drive in. You have to go inside to get your donuts.
Is that right? It's called the donut drive-in.
Oh, but you really can't drive
in. But you have to... FCC needs to look into that.
I don't think that's real good donuts, though.
Or the FDA or somebody.
The apple fritter. That's what you want to go for.
Do they have any? Do they have the bacon donuts in there? Because that's the big trend. You know,
I know. No,
bacon-wrapped donuts.
None of the fancy bacon donuts, no. I know there's a place over in Maplewood. I think it's called Strange Donut. We're plugging all these places. I'm not trying to, but... Yeah, they have some of those oddball fancy donuts over there. So,
have you made a survey of all the donut shops in St. Louis?
I'm making the rounds.
Okay.
We had friends that did do that. Oddly enough, Saturday morning they had a what they called their donut crawl, where they went to I think four or five different donut places back to back on a Saturday morning. So
that sounds fun. By the way, there's an app. You know, download it on iTunes today. That'll locate all the donuts. Shops within
really
walking distance of wherever you are in the world.
Yeah. Is that right?
I think it's just called donuts.
Well, that's what we as Americans need, don't we?
That's right. Stay away from those vegetables. They're out to kill you.
Now, we heard that last week.
Have you ever heard anything bad about donuts again? But what's no one's ever done a study that said donuts weren't good for you.
I don't think they have to do a study to figure that out.
That's right. All right, real quick, Matt, because we don't want to make our people be too patient here.
Oh, yeah.
They're waiting
yeah,
for the puppy video to load. opening joke, Jeopardy. Again, not necessarily a joke. Might be an amusing anecdote, humorous stories, or an interesting trivia. Man, I'm glad we've only got a few weeks left of this. So category number one, Alex, is bad joke number one or two. We can't remember which one it is, but it's bad jokes. Number two is opposite words. Number three is laughter is the best medicine. And we only got four categories because we're running out and we're getting ready to close this baby up. And it is the decline of a great American tradition. Those are the categories. Which would you like, Matt?
Can we do the decline of a great American tradition?
Okay. You want to do that?
For 600.
All right. Here's the thing that I find disturbing. There are so many things that I grew up with that were part of being an American. And now they're unheard of or they're on the decline. And so I was shocked. I was saddened to see that in America we're not chewing gum like we used to. Did you know that?
Grandpa John, I'm happy about the lack of gum.
Well, think about it. You remember when you used to get, maybe you don't because you're Matt Youngblood. Maybe you're not, maybe that's the problem. Your generation does not realize what we're missing in terms of gum.
We just take gum for granted.
You do. I used to go and get a baseball card and there would always be a stick of gum in there.
No, I remember more. That. I remember
Do you
that.
Remember
yeah,
that?
They're real stale, hard.
But it was gum. It was supposed to be stale and hard. I'll talk to you what the problem is, what's happening with you younger generation.
You would chew it while you walked to school uphill both ways, and we'd like our hard gum.
That's it. The harder, the better. But yeah, no, there's no gum. You don't get gum with baseball cards anymore. There's no Bazooka Joe anymore. Remember? Oh. You're talking about you'd unwrap it and you could read the cartoon.
Yeah, Yeah, I remember that.
People don't have to read anymore. You just have to read in order to get your gum. And you know, here's the tragic. You know what it's being replaced by? The gum chewing is being I can't believe this
vegetables.
That we've sunk to this. No, no, thank God it's not that. Mints. people are sucking mints rather than chewing. And is that not just indicative of our whole society? What is more lazy than having a mint in your mouth that just sits there and melts?
You don't do anything. You don't have to chew even.
That's
it just
right.
kind of dissolves.
No work involved. And now you're wondering why our country's going to hell in a handbasket. People, get out there and start chewing the gum, okay? All right. Enough of my editorial.
Well, I'm glad you... Remind me not to pick that category again.
Well, you won't have to, because it's. You know what else? We're not eating cereal anymore. We're not eating cupcakes anymore. This is what's happening. What is our country going to where we don't eat cereal and eat cupcakes? Next, it'll be bacon and donuts.
Oh,
trust
well,
me.
I sure hope
trust
not.
Me.
Let's
it's
not go that
slippery
far.
Slope.
Oh boy.
Oh, Matt, where are we at today?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
I'm glad people have been patient with us so far, but they won't be patient much longer. What are we doing?
We've got to get to something relevant.
Yeah. Oh, wait a second. I guess we should do that. There's
oh,
ad.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're,
I can't find
are,
it.
Are we, Charlie Brown sound effect. Let's see.
All right, now. There's no time for foolishness.
Okay.
All right. Very good. So today we are continuing our Fruit of the Spirit series. Last week we talked about the fruit of patience, so we thank you for your patience again this morning with us, as always, and today we
continue... Just a
second,
Matt. I'm going to be chewing some gum while you're doing this.
That doesn't make for good radio, apparently.
Okay, maybe I better not do that. All right.
We have love, joy, peace, patience. Now we're on kindness.
How many are
kindness.
There total?
Have you been paying attention the past few weeks?
No. I've been chewing my gum. I can't pay attention and chew my gum at the same time.
There are nine. So in
so what do we got left?
Galatians 5. Okay. Okay. It's nine for the Spirit. So we're on number 5 today.
Oh, we got four more.
So we're about halfway there.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so we've got four more. We've covered four, and then we're at the halfway point, so we have four more after this. So,
okay. Right? So, you're asking me to do the math in my head? Give me a pen and paper. I'll write it out.
I know. We're all pastors. Right. We don't so, do so, math. Okay, so, the fruit of kindness.
Kindness.
Yeah. You know, there's a thing called, have you heard of random acts of kindness?
I have heard of that.
Yeah,
yes.
So these random acts of kindness, I did a little research. Apparently, they aren't so random.
Is that right?
Here's another conspiracy for you. No,
okay.
There's actually and I find this kind of ironic, there's an actual organized random acts of kindness foundation. So these random okay. acts of kindness are highly planned almost.
Oh, we have to investigate
yeah.
that.
But so it's a random acts of kindness foundation, and they devote themselves to promoting kindness. Kindness in our world,
well,
kindness
that's good.
In our schools.
That's nice.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I'm not knocking them, but they have seminars at schools and at businesses and all sorts of stuff to help people learn how to be kind, how to live out kindness. And again, no, that's a great thing. Kindness, yeah. It's a good thing. We're talking about today, wrestling with the basics. But what I find kind of sad, though, is that our world today needs a foundation to teach us how to be kind.
To be kind, okay.
You know, the fact that this organization even needs to exist is kind of sad. It's kindness has sometimes become sort of rare in our world today. You read through the papers, there's not much kindness there. I guess it doesn't make the news at least. So why is that? You know, last week we asked them, why aren't we patient? What's the problem? I guess this week's question is, why aren't we kind? Any insights on that?
Well,
any guess?
See,
I mean, not, there's a right or wrong answer.
Well, no, I think
well,
that's
sin
again, from a Christian standpoint, it's because we are born in sin and conceived in iniquity. We may do random acts of kindness, but in terms of actually living lives that are dominated by kindness, probably not. In fact, if you think about it, most of the things you do that are kindly are things that don't really cost you a whole lot. You know,
mm-hmm.
So the beggar on the street. Well, all right, I got a buck in my pocket. What difference does that make? Here, so I've been kind to you,
yeah.
or the fact that I'll pat you on the back and tell you what a wonderful guy you are. Again, that didn't really
yeah.
no sacrifice involved in any of that. It's just it's easy enough to do, and maybe you'll actually like me better now that I've done that. See,
yeah.
So there's a payoff for me because now I actually look like I'm a good guy,
yeah.
at least in your eyes. So
good. Yeah, I think you're right, and I think just sometimes. our busy schedules. You know, we just don't have time to be kind.
That's right.
I only got enough time to worry about myself, much less anyone else. But some of those things you touched on, I'm glad you mentioned them. That idea of...
I'm glad you mentioned them, too. That was a very kindly thing for you to say.
That's very kind of you. There's kind of three characteristics of kindness that I wanted to focus on.
Three characteristics.
And you really touched on two of them. One is that the kindness sometimes takes risks.
Okay.
You remember you mentioned, you know, not taking much risk, you know, that we like to do those little things. But no, sometimes real kindness takes risks. And the other one is kindness almost has to put another person before yourself.
Now, wait a second. You used an interesting term there. You said real kindness.
Real.
Are you suggesting that there may be a different kind of kindness that isn't quite so real, not exactly what the Bible's talking about here?
Well, I would think that part of it plays into, well, you know, what's the motivation for our kindness?
Oh.
Sometimes, why are we kind? Is it to just get something in return? You know, and is that real kindness?
Well, but that's actually how it works, isn't it, Matt?
I know.
If I come over and help you move your couch, then I'm kind of expecting that when I get that new refrigerator, you'll come and help me put it in my kitchen.
Yeah. Well, and again, okay, to move someone's couch, that is a kind thing. That's a kind thing to do. But I guess what I'm getting at is that the fruit of the spirit kind of kindness, was that because, was that a fruit of the spirit a work in me, or is that just because I want the guy to come over and move my furniture when I need it?
I have a question for you, Matt.
Sure.
Is there a Bible story that might illustrate what you mean about real kindness is?
I'm glad you asked. It's a Bible story that I think we can look at kind of through the lens of what we just talked about concerning kindness. And it's the story, the account of the Good Samaritan. Which I'm proposing we should change its name to the Kind Samaritan.
Ah, I like that.
Maybe we'll start a trend on Wrestling with the Basics, and that'll gain steam. We'll see. But I won't hold my breath, though. So anyway, we want to look at the parable here of the Kind Samaritan for today, at least. Luke chapter 10. And just to kind of lead into this, there's a lawyer who's asking Jesus, you know, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus basically answers his question by saying, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love your neighbor. And then he asks Jesus the question, the man replies, you know, love God and love your neighbor. And Jesus says, you've answered correctly. But then the lawyer says, but who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor?
Yes.
And then,
yes.
then Jesus tells this account, this parable.
But belaying maybe a different kind of understanding of neighborly kindness.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what does kindness look like to my neighbor? Who should I show kindness to?
Right.
That's what Jesus is trying to answer
here with
this story.
And so maybe his thought was, well, yeah, people that are kind and good, I'm going to be kind and good to them. That's what he was thinking.
Yeah, people that are kind or good, people that look like me, talk like me, that are Jew like me, but no, if they're different, I don't need to be kind to them.
Where do you want me to start reading?
Well, let's start with Luke 10, verse 30.
Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. So that was not an act of kindness. Am I right?
No, that was
no kindness
that's
there.
The unkind. You
that
know,
was the unkind. Yeah,
not only do they take his stuff, but they also leave him half dead, beaten up, just laying there.
Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor, to be a kind person to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Ooh, and Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise.
Yeah, yeah, mercy and that love and kindness, we could say.
Compassion.
Even, I think. Compassion, yes. Yeah. So, you know, again, one of the points I want to make is that kindness takes risks. You know, would it have been risky to help this half-dead guy lying on the side of the road?
Well, yeah, because he might have been bait.
Oh, good point. Yeah, exactly.
And then you come, and then they'll jump you. And You know, that might be.
Yeah, who's to say the robbers aren't hiding behind the rock there, and they just kind of left this guy out here exactly as bait, and once you stoop down to help him, they jump the poor sucker, and they get him too.
And who knows, maybe the guy was actually one of the robbers that was laying there. Maybe he was just playing dead, you know?
Yeah,
you don't know about that stuff. That could be.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you have experience with that. You know a little too much about
it. Well, I know a lot about possums that they play. I'm actually not in real life with people, but you never know.
You never know. So it's a risk that a priest and a Levite, both Jews, both associated with work in the temple in some respect, it's a risk they're not willing to take.
Well, you know, not only that, but the guy's dirty. He's beaten up, you know, and they've got holy stuff to do, Matt. And if they go touch him, they'll be unclean and they won't be able to do their vocation. And, you know, it's understandable.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to church. I'm all dressed up. I can't stop to help some bum on the side of the street, you know.
Yeah, they know better than to come to church looking for help. Come on. Isn't that terrible? But that's exactly the point I think Jesus is trying to make. One of the points he's trying to make here.
Or ironically, yeah, we might want to give them something so they don't stay in the church.
Yeah.
Here, take some money and go away.
Yeah. What does it take to get you out of here? You know, you're causing a scene.
That kind of kindness.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, though, the one person who is willing to take that risk is the Samaritan. And of course, the irony here in this parable is that the Samaritan would be the one you would be least likely to help the man. At least you think he'd be least likely.
Why would a Samaritan be least likely to help the man?
Well, he's not a Jew, and the Jews and Samaritans, they didn't think very highly of each other, and especially Jews would look down on Samaritans as being not full Jews, kind of these half-breeds and wannabes, and even unclean. You know, you mentioned, you know, you want to be ceremonial clean. Boy, if you hang around Samaritans too much, you're not going to be clean anymore.
So then he didn't have to worry about being unclean. He was already unclean.
He had nothing to lose.
Okay.
But it goes both ways. You know, Jews look down on them, but Samaritans weren't all that fond of Jews either. Simply because of those things.
Kind of the whole Hamas and Israel thing that we're going through now.
You know, it's the tensions among, you know, ethnic groups and peoples. It's nothing new, is it? But anyway, again, so an unlikely person to show kindness is a Samaritan to a Jew, but yet he does. He's willing to take the risk. He shows kindness, even though he's a Samaritan, and not only does he risk his own safety, but he also gives the guy first aid. He binds his wounds, does what he can there, and then takes him and puts him up at a hotel, an inn, to make sure he's cared for. The man takes a risk.
Now, you know, and I don't want to steal your thunder here, but it occurs to me, wow, this is really different than the way I see kindness, you know, because, like you said, it's not just that the guy stopped to kind of bind up his wounds and then went on and said, well, I hope you do all right, which is how we usually do kindness. I give you a little bit, I'll help you out. But then I'm moving on. I got other things I got to do. Mm-hmm. But this guy, like you said, puts him on his own donkey, takes him to a hotel, then pays for his care even after he leaves.
Yeah.
That's quite beyond the kindness that I would usually share with people.
And he goes that extra mile. And then on top of that, did this injured man ask him to do any of that?
No.
He just does it out of kindness, out of mercy, compassion, those words that came up in the account too. No, he just does it.
Yeah, and see, that's what struck me, the whole, this is a thing of mercy.
Yeah.
See, because usually, well, sometimes we extend kindness to people who probably don't deserve it, you know, the beggar on the street. But usually, I'm kind to people who have been kind to me, you know? I rake the leaves for my elderly neighbor, and she makes me a pie when she bakes pies, you know.
Yeah.
But you're right. The radical thing here is, no, this was mercy. This person didn't deserve it for many reason or extent, either because of his nationality or his condition, and yet, the guy does it.
Didn't deserve and doesn't get anything in return. And that kind of leads into the next aspect of kindness I want to touch on is it puts another before yourself. Because it's really what this man does. He puts another, even a Jew of all people, before himself and cares for him. Again, the people you'd expect, the Levite, the priest, like you mentioned, no, they're too busy. They've got places to go, people to see, duties to perform at the temple, whatever the case may be. They're in a hurry. They don't have time to put another before themselves. No, they're their own priority right now. So kindness really does take sacrifice, and it takes to put another before yourself. And that's not easy. That's the selfless thing to do. So kindness really is a selfless act.
So now you got me thinking, this is not the way I am by nature, Matt.
No.
So what? How am I going to get you, this? John. Where are we going to go to here? How's this?
Okay, well...
Wait a second. What was that?
No, nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing.
No bacon for you.
Oh, gee. That brings us to really the third aspect of kindness I want to talk about. And that kindness really, you know, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit here. The kindness points us, and our acts of kindness hopefully points to Christ.
Yeah.
Kindness
yeah.
points to Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we look at the story of the Good Samaritan here, and the end of the story, we get down with it, and kind of the moral of the story is you be kind to people. And I think that, well, certainly I think that's
exactly
part of Jesus' point. That's not wrong. Yeah, it is. We should be kind. But I think that we can also look at this parable from a different perspective. And when we look at this parable from the perspective of Jesus in it, Jesus as the Good Samaritan, if you will, and us really as that man beaten, bloody on the side of the road in need of someone to save us, I think there's a new perspective there, that Jesus would come along, that he would bind our wounds, that he would provide for us, that he would pay the price for us to find healing and strength. And of course, not just with money, Jesus doesn't do it, but with his own blood shed for us. And again, not for something in return from us, you know, not that God needs anything from us, but purely out of that mercy, that compassion, that kindness that we see in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
And boy, I like that thought. That it's not that God does good things for us because we in turn need to do good things for him. That is the human way of looking at kindness. But that's what this story illustrates so powerfully. No, this man didn't expect anything in return from the man that he'd helped and cared for. And that's exactly what God does for us. There's no expectation that we need to do something because God's been good to us. But again, as you said, that is the fruit of the Spirit. That's what will flow from us when we understand and believe that.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, he doesn't need that from us, and yet our neighbor needs it, those in this world. So I love Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Paul really talks about this Christ-motivated kindness in this way. He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So having been forgiven by our Savior's kindness, then that motivates us And really enables us, having been forgiven, to then show kindness and forgiveness to each other, too.
And now it seems to me we've gone full circle to back to what we've been saying the previous weeks. All of these gifts, they're not, like you said, they're not a model. They're not an example we're supposed to follow, but rather they are the fruits of the Spirit. This is how God is towards us, and as we are connected to him through word and sacrament, through the forgiveness, as Paul talks about in Ephesians, these are the things that will come actually despite what we are in our nature. But now we have this nature of Christ,
exactly.
The Spirit of Christ.
Well, quick story as we wind up here. I was hard at work in my study, my office at church, and someone came in, these two ladies from the park across the street from us, and they had to use the restroom. They asked, could we use your restroom? And we said, sure. And the ladies were worried because they weren't Lutheran. So we assured them, no, these aren't just Lutheran-only restrooms. You're welcome to use them. And what really struck me is just how sincerely thankful these women are. And they said, you're so kind. I mean, they're just struck by our kindness, sincerely were. And I really think, you know, in a world where maybe kindness isn't so common, that gives us an opportunity as Christians. When kindness is rare, our acts of kindness, whether big or small, stand up more sharply in this world. And it's my prayer that our kindness then draws attention to, points people to, the one who was first kind to us, points to our Savior.
Thank you very much, Matt. God's blessings to you on your kindness. And what's the one for next week?
Okay, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness.
Goodness.